Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I'm Kristi Hamam from WebMD. We're here at the White House today with Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius. Secretary Sebelius will be answering your questions about the Affordable Care Act, a topic also of great interest to the WebMD community. The questions I'll be asking Secretary Sebelius come from people across the country who've been submitting them on the White House YouTube channel, where you can also vote on questions. The questions we'll be talking about today have received the most number of votes. We've received about 3,000 votes over the past day and a half, and we encourage you to continue submitting questions throughout the course of the conversation. Let's get started. The bill provides new coverage options starting this year for people with pre-existing conditions who have been uninsured for at least 6 months. We've had many questions about this topic. LS in Portland, Oregon asks, how do I apply for the pre-existing condition pool and what am I supposed to do? What are my options for that 6 months of being rejected before I can get into that pool, and how expensive will that coverage be?
Well, all good questions. First of all, Kristi, I'm really glad that you're here and glad to have the opportunity to talk about the features of the Affordable Care Act, which really impact Americans across the country. This is a great opportunity. Every state will have a pre-existing condition pool set up and running by August. Some states are running their own pools. In other states, the Department of Health and Human Services is actually providing the national fallback pool. So the law says that individuals have to be uninsured for 6 months and have a pre-existing condition determination that has prevented them from having affordable health insurance. So a turn down letter or a quote that's just wildly impossible to meet, or what a lot of insurance plans do is say, we'll insure you, but we won't cover the condition that you need coverage for. The best place to start is really for the Oregon question is to call the insurance department in Oregon and get the information about the application and the website out of Oregon. The price is determined by the price in Oregon. So a standard rate in Oregon will set the price for the pool in Oregon. A standard rate in California will set the price for the pool in California. So the price is going to vary across the country. And frankly, we are anticipating that most of the people who are applying have already tried to get coverage and just haven't been able to either get affordable coverage or get a coverage at all during the 6 months. We don't anticipate that people will be dropping their coverage in order to get into the pool.
Okay. And then many people, including Riley from Texas, ask, why 6 months?
6 months was seen by Congress, again, as the appropriate amount of time to make sure that coverage was not available, so they weren't just holding out for another option, or that people had been turned down, which is one of the criteria. We don't want people dropping their existing coverage and shifting plans. The whole idea was one more alternative available to people who really were locked out of the market. And again, I want to point out this is not seen as the option that is going to be available for a long term. This is kind of a bridge strategy. It's one more piece of the puzzle to get to 2014. In 2014, there will be new insurance markets for everyone, including everyone with a pre-existing condition. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to come into the exchanges and have affordable coverage. So this is just a temporary bridge to get people to that point.
Okay. And then just one more related question. This is from Jules from the WebMD community posting on YouTube. And she says, I'm concerned about pre-existing conditions. I have several, and I have my trusted doctors. With the new healthcare reform, will I have to change doctors, or can I continue to see the ones who know me?
Well, again, for Jules, it depends on what her options are between now and the time that we have these new exchanges in 2014. I think the pre-existing condition plan coverage that we're talking about should allow her to see her own doctor, should have a network of providers that have the kind of medical care that she's used to. The exchanges will certainly have a network that will allow you to see your own doctors. And a couple of other points about pre-existing conditions, one of the things that the law says is this year, all health insurance plans will have to insure children with pre-existing conditions. So in a family plan, their kids can no longer be locked out starting in September of this year. All the new policies that are issued have to involve children. That's not going to happen for all adults until 2014. So we've got kind of a phased-in strategy for pre-existing conditions.
Okay, thank you. Violet Reynolds in Clarksburg, West Virginia, wants to know why it will take until 2014 for some of the provisions to go into effect. Why so long?
Well, Violet, that's a great question, and it kind of relates to the question Jules just asked. In order to set up new marketplaces everywhere in the country, a couple of things have to happen. I mean, first of all, you have to make sure that you have providers in the network. Mm-hmm. You can't really set up a plan, a health plan, unless you make sure you have enough OBGYNs to deliver babies. You've got mental health professionals, you've got specialty care, you've got primary care, and that really takes some period of time. We want every consumer to have at least two choices. So again, you're setting up kind of two new plans in most markets. Some may have three or four or five. And the states will be running these exchanges, and they need some time to make sure we get it right. So we've got some bridge strategies, the pre-existing condition pool that will go into effect, some new rules about help for small business owners to get tax credits so they can begin to afford coverage, some stabilization of plans that are in place. But we know that for a lot of people, it isn't until you get to 2014 until you see a brand new marketplace.
Right. We've had many questions from people who are concerned about insurance companies raising premiums. For instance, Carol in Colorado asks, what laws have you put into place to prevent health insurance companies from raising their rates because of having to insure all risks?
Well, that's a great question. Again, companies are going to be phased into this just the way that individuals are. But a couple of new rate authorities exist right away. First of all, state insurance departments regulate the companies in that state, and we have asked all the insurance commissioners, and I used to be an insurance commissioner, so I know these folks pretty well, to look at their rate authority and to actually go to their legislatures to get broader authority, to make sure that they get to check the rates before they go into effect, check the numbers, look at the health trends, and a lot of states are doing that right now. Secondly, we have got a new website up and running, healthcare.gov, and right now it combines all the plans that someone has available, all the public plans, all the private plans, and gives it in one easy-to-see comparison. By October, that will have price data on it. I know from experience that putting prices side by side is often a good strategy for competition. It has companies don't like to be the most expensive plan in the market. We also have authority now at Health and Human Services to look at excessive rates, and we'll be doing that. And finally, there's a new piece of the bill that, starting in 2011, will require companies to spend at least 80% on their premium dollars on medical losses. It's the medical loss ratio. Mm-hmm. So they have to make sure that they're returning good value to consumers and not in CEO salaries and advertising and paying agents, but really on paying health costs. And again, if they don't meet that threshold, they will have to rebate money back to consumers. And I think all of those put together are, again, good strategies until we get to the new marketplace in 2014.
Okay. Many people have expressed concerns that increased access to care will come at the cost of quality of care. Could you respond to that?
Well, actually, I think that we are concerned about three features, and that's really what the Affordable Care Act looks at. Access to care. We right now have 40 million Americans with no real access. That's going to change over time with this bill. But quality and cost are the other two important features. What we know right now in America is that we spend almost twice as much as any developed country per capita, but our health results are not as good. So we're spending a lot more, but not getting the bang for our buck. So part of what the President and Congress directed us to do is really look at what are those issues which can improve the quality of people's mm-hmm. care, save lives, and lower cost at the same time. And there's a lot of effort. Preventive care, for instance. Right. We know that having a mammogram, finding breast cancer early on, increases a patient's likelihood of survival to 98%. If breast cancer, on the other hand, is found late, if it has been able to travel around your body for a while, it's about 24% survival rate. So the early mammogram really helps. It helps right. save lives, it helps lower costs, it helps people get better in the long run. The Affordable Care Act will get rid of the financial copay with preventive care. So there's strategies like that throughout the bill that are actually going to lower costs but also improve the quality of people's care.
Okay. Starting September 23rd of this year, children under 26 will be allowed to stay on their parents or family policy or be added to it with some exceptions. We had a lot of questions about this topic. Here's one from Chase in New Jersey who says, how can I get the fine print details for the new rule that allows a child to stay on his or her parents' health coverage through age 26? And then, can a child stay on the parent's policy even if the child's employer offers more costly and less comprehensive coverage?
Good questions. The best way to get the fine print is really go to the insurance company that okay. your parents have. It's almost impossible to tell you policy by policy, but the new federal law basically says is that all plans will have to allow the opportunity for adult children to re-enroll after the 23rd of September, which is 6 months after the president signed the bill. So that that option will be available and could provide a cost-effective option. If your adult child has employer-based coverage, it is one of the only times that they are probably not going to be allowed to re-enroll mm-hmm. because it's assumed that they have credible coverage, okay. they have affordable coverage. If they aren't working, if they don't have coverage at all through their employer, if you know, they're married, if any number of things don't provide barriers to come back into the plan. But if they have employer-based coverage, that may eliminate the possibility of re-enrolling on your parents' plan.
Okay, thank you. And then a follow-up question comes from Contenta in Galveston, Texas. She says, we are on a very limited income and can't afford health insurance. Our college-age daughter has serious health issues but was dropped from the Medicaid Kids program due to her age. What can she do since we don't have insurance?
Well, I don't know how old the daughter is. It's possible that she could qualify for Medicaid on her own.
Okay.
Particularly given health conditions. That's one option that the parents could look at, not enrolling her as a child, but actually enrolling her as a single adult is possible depending on where that state is. And unfortunately, in the then intervening time, the daughter may also qualify for the pre-existing condition pool that will be set up in every state around the country, and okay. that should be looked at. For the parents, I think the best strategy is going to be in 2014, there will be a new market, and there will be tax credits available for families to purchase affordable coverage. So there's some help from the government to come into those insurance markets that probably at that point could insure the whole family. But in the short term, the daughter may be able to enroll in Medicaid or may qualify for the pre-existing condition plan in that state.
Okay, great, thank you. So on a different topic, this is a question from Citizen in Oregon, who says, does anything in your plan act to control prescription costs? It's true that people need to be able to see a doctor, but sometimes if a prescription is very expensive, even if there is coverage, the price is still out of reach.
Well, again, the federal law doesn't really deal with the specifics of what's called a formulary. You know, how many drugs are there, whether you would substitute a generic drug for a brand name drug. But most health plans do, and those strategies will still be in place. What's been very successful in lots of places around the country is to actually encourage and sometimes even provide financial incentives for a patient and a provider to switch to a generic drug. that may have exactly the same health benefits but be at a half or a third of the cost. That's often a part of the health plan, and we're going to certainly encourage that kind of cost savings. We also had a pretty significant negotiation with pharma, the big group who manages a lot of the drug manufacturers, in terms of cost savings over time. A lot of the cost savings will come into the Medicare program, so that seniors who currently hit the so-called donut hole, the gap in drug coverage, will start to see some real relief from that. Now, this year they get a $250 rebate check. Starting next year, there'll be a 50% discount on brand name drugs in the donut hole, and that will gradually, the donut hole will gradually be phased out over the course of the plan.
Okay. And then this comes from Vicki in Montana. This will be our last question today. Vicki asks, will insurance companies be required to cover alternative medicine, such as chiropractic and acupuncture, as a form of preventative medicine?
Well, I think, Vicki, it's likely that insurance plans will offer those alternatives. First of all, they're very popular with consumers, and a lot of them have a lot of very good health benefits. So right now, a lot of plans offer non-traditional providers or providers of a variety of fields, and I think that's likely to continue in the future. Again, we're not taking over the private market. This is more the private plans becoming more competitive, becoming more inclusive, and operating finally under a new set of rules, which says they can't pick and choose any longer who gets coverage and who doesn't.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, so much for your questions today. And thank you, Secretary Sebelius.
Sure.
It
was great
very
to be
informative.
With you.
Thank you. If you missed part of the conversation, you'll be able to see the video in about 24 hours on the whitehouse.gov website. We'll also be answering a few more of the questions that we didn't get to today. They'll also be available at whitehouse.gov, or you can go to webmd.com and search healthcare reform. Thank you.